Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we have a choice. Isn't it amazing? He gives you a choice. It's called free will. Activating our free will. Well, you know, there's somebody else that wants to activate your free will too. You know, we're either influenced by God and His Spirit, or we're influenced by demonic spirits. The Word tells us that we don't fight flesh and blood, but powers of darkness. And there's a spirit that the Spirit is, Holy Spirit, wanted to really reveal today because we're seeing it so activated and everywhere. And we're going to see it increase more and more and more. It's called a spirit of anger. It provokes. It's a provoker. We're seeing all kinds of provoking going on. It's amazing. Politicians provoke in the anger of anger so they can win a vote. Because they try to bring anger towards their opponent. There's a lot of things that are happening right now that we're seeing. You know, anger is promoted in movies. It's promoted in music. It's promoted in environment, relationships. One of the things that people get so caught up with is resentment. Resentment builds up to a place where it promotes and expresses not only anger. Anger will lead to murder. Many people are angry because of their childhood. Many people are angry or jealous or whatever it may be. But anger is an area that doesn't need to be managed. It needs to be removed. You know, I hear about all these people going to anger management. Well, that's just plumb nuts. You cannot manage a demon. Now, there's an era you and I are born into this realm. And, you know, we are born in lust. We are born in anger. We are born rebels. That is our nature of the old man, but there's a new character now. And in that new character, it's no longer management, it's removal. The world only teaches you how to manage fear, manage oppression, manage this, manage that. They don't know about removal. I was an addict. I was trying to manage my addiction. It didn't work. It managed me. And when it wanted a full course meal, it took me over until it was removed. Once it was removed, it tried to come back, but I saw it from a distance. See, so that's what's so important about staying filled with the Spirit. You're here today because God brought you here. I don't care how you got here, but you're here. And the Holy Spirit from the throne room of God has a special message for each and every one of us. For some of us, we need to be reminded. That's why we fellowship. These are not Bible studies. They're training sessions. We're not about religion. I'm about freedom. Everybody wants to be free. They want to be free from themselves, free from fear, free from debt, free from sickness, free from the way we're living. Listen, even those that don't know the Lord know that they're not living right. Amen? They know it. Why? Because you came from God, so you got to know you're not living right. You can justify it all along. Hey, I mean, let me tell you, you can see a lot of atheists when things happen. You know, the first thing they say is, oh, God. Yeah, I don't believe in God. Yeah, wait till they get hit by a car or something. Oh, God, help me. When they hit the wall of reality. Would you turn to Psalm 51, please? Things will get worse. Anger is being provoked in a tremendous, tremendous way. It's actually promoting from anger to hatred. Now they've come up with hate crimes, which really don't have anything to do with hate. They're actually promoting hate. There's areas that are promoting prejudice. They're promoting all kinds of things. The powers of darkness are the promoters of evil. Man is not the promoter. Satan's kingdom's the promoter. Unfortunately, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In Psalm 51, verse 1, would you read it with me? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. A transgression is an act. It is an act of the influence. In other words, sin is the presence of evil. So when the presence of evil speaks to us and we act on it, it becomes a transgression. That transgression now becomes a curse on you and your family line, which is called an iniquity. So you are what you inherited until it's finally broke. It says, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my acts, and my sin is always before me. So the presence of evil is always there. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You know, God sees it all, doesn't he? It's amazing how people close the door. They don't think God knows nothing. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In other words, I came forth. I was born in sin, but I everything of my family line I inherited. And in sin my mother, what? Conceived me. So you and I were born as little flesh creatures. We were born in sin. We were rebellious, full of lust, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's all we wanted to do was live for ourselves, and that is called the kingdom of self, which is existing right now. Again, I want to repeat, there's three kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of self, and the kingdom of God. Many people, even those who claim to be believers, are still living in the kingdom of self. Why? Because the kingdom of self is ruled by Satan's kingdom. That's what we call the matrix. And verse 5, I'm going to read it again. Read it with me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know what? To make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssops, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Again, conceived in sin, our old man carries the presence of an evil character. You and I were born in rebellion towards God's righteousness. We were born with lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. We were promoters, protectors, and establishers of self with no control. We didn't have any self-control. And in this is how we used to be. But again, when you are born of the Spirit, it's different. It doesn't mean that that's still not there. It's there still. It's a part of the old man. Go to John 1. John chapter 1. In verse 12, it says, but as many as received him who is Jesus, in other words, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you've exchanged your life for his life. When you receive something, you use it. If you've actually received Christ, then you follow. If you said, yeah, I received Jesus 20 years ago and still ain't following, then you're not really saved. Why? Because the word believe means to follow. And God sees whether you and I are following. If we're not following, he calls us a liar. That's reality. See, that's the deception of the influence of the powers of darkness. To think that you and I can just accept Jesus and go do whatever we want to do, live together, fornicate, do all of these things, and make it in heaven. No way. No way. And to claim that we're a believer and still live in sin, something ain't right. Then we're not a believer. We're not a follower. We are distanced. That means we have a long-distance relationship with the Lord, not a close one. Because if we have a close relationship with the Lord, he's always before us. We don't want to do anything that offends him. We don't want to associate with sin. We don't want to. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to be near it. Because we know that if it contaminates our spirit, man, then our soulish part becomes carnal. Amen? And our flesh becomes rebellious. Everybody okay? Reality, you came to hear truth, right? Amen. You want to know what God sees? You want to know what God is? In other words, this is how he sees these things. Now, we can go all kind of places and try and find things that agree with what we believe. Amen? But it better be this, or you're in the wrong place. Hallelujah. All right, now he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. How many of y'all want to be children of God? Well, if you don't, then you're going to be a child of the devil, one or the other. To those who believe, what's the word believe mean? Follow in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. In other words, you didn't go out just to have children. So you and I were born by the will of man. We were born by the blood of man. Amen. That brought us into a realm that because we were born by the will of man, we were born into sin. Because man's will is sin. Only the will of God is righteous. That's it. Everything else is sin. That's why the word says only those who practice the will of God will inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're practicing your will, you ain't getting in. But I'm a good person. Good don't matter. See, there's a tree of good and evil, and there's a tree of righteousness. The one of righteousness releases life. The one of good and evil releases death. That's the deception of it. That's why people go around, I'm a good person, man. You're a good person, you're going to hell. Because you're not eating the fruit of life. You're eating from this tree of death. Death produces death. Life produces life. That's reality, and that's truth. Amen. Verse 14. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, children of God are not born of man. They're born of the Spirit. Amen. They're born from God. When you are born again, that's when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you choose to follow, you've given Him your life. And He gives His life. So, we're not born of man, we're born of the Spirit. When you are born of the Spirit, God gives you a plan of escape. That plan is called grace. I hear people, I'm saved by grace, I can do anything I want. No, no, no. That's not the grace of God. God's grace is God's plan. What's it for? To escape the deception of the powers of darkness and the wrath of God. And the wrath of God. Amen? So that's why Jesus came, because people weren't living right. Of course, He opened up the dimensional port for us to get home. But you can't get through that port without going through Him. So in this, He said, look, it, I have come to give you a plan of escape by using My eternal truths. If you follow My plan, you're out of here. You're cool, you're safe, you're protected. If you're going to do your own plan, well, then you're lost. Living outside of salvation's truth. L-O-S-T, lost. Is everybody all right? Matthew 12. Oh, glory. Aren't we supposed to express Christ? That's what a Christian is, Christ-like. So how can we express Christ if we're not living according to His grace? Amen? Then we're living, we're hypocritical, and we're dangerous. Why? Because then what people are doing are looking at you, and if we're not living according to what is right, does everybody understand this? If you're not living according to what God says, according to His grace and plan, and you're claiming to be a believer, then people are looking at you who don't know Christ and going, oh, that's how to be a Christian? You know what happens then? Their blood is on your hands. Does everybody get this? Their blood is on your hands because they're looking at you because you're proclaiming to be a Christian. If I'm proclaiming to be a Christian and I'm not living right and people are following what I'm doing and they die and they go to hell, their blood is on my hands. Does everybody get this? That's why we're to warn them. I'm warning everyone here. The Spirit of God is warning everyone here. Why? Because I don't want your blood on my hands. If I don't tell you this, look, at God is a God of love, but He's also the God of wrath. He loves us unconditionally. He paid the price for me and you to get things right, to get in divine order. He gives us every weapon, every tool, and everything to be victorious in everything we do. We got no excuse. In Matthew 12, is everybody there in verse 43? Would you read it with me? It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what? Dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. Now listen, there is a daily battle of evil forces to regain position and possession. They want to regain position and possession in me and you. Well, I don't feel a spirit. Well, you'll know them by their fruit. Does everybody get this? If you're not living a righteous life, then obviously there's a spirit there promoting something, isn't there? Is everybody okay? If I'm a smoker, there's a spirit there. It's called a spirit of nicotine. If I'm watching pornography, it's a spirit of perversion. If I'm a cusser, it's a spirit of perversion. If I'm in fornication, it's a spirit of fornication. If I'm in adultery, it's a spirit of adultery. You'll know the spirits by its fruit. Amen? This is reality. This is how God sees things. We got to come out of how we see things and go in the area, how does he see it? Because he's the one we stand in front of, not every day, every single day, but not just every day, but there'll be a day when we're there. And you can't look back. You can't justify. You can't do anything. It's over with, and we're there. Amen? Daily battle of evil forces to regain position and possession. So one of the things they want to do is they want to provoke us to anger. They want to provoke us to anger, which opens the door to more spirits, you know, in households and whatever. Well, look it. You can tell when there's a spirit in the house. There's irritation, agitation. Man, you know it. Man, you can wake up and go, something's provoking. Provoking. Spirits provoke. And one of the main provoking spirits is anger. Wants to provoke, provoke, provoke till you finally give in. Then you open your mouth and spirits flood in and they eat a full course meal. Then you got to get rid of them all. Now, there's an area that you can be angry but don't sin. It's what you're going to do with it. It's like you might have a thought of lust, but are you going to paint it, fill in the colors, you know, put the dots together, or are you going to get rid of it before it begins to become a part? And Galatians 5. See, the enemy tries to plant a seed, then water it. Then it grows. One of the things we don't want... See, so if you can prevent the enemy from planting the seed, then he can't water anything. Galatians 5. In verse 16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because anger is a part of works of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so you don't do those things which you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like it, of which I've told you beforehand, just as I'm telling you in the past and telling you again over and over and over, if you're living in that kind of condition, if you're practicing these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's it. Everybody okay? Now, but the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, control over self. Against there's no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not become conceited or provoking one another, envying one another, provoking. Why? When people are provoked, it promotes anger. In Proverbs 8, would you go there with me? Proverbs 8. Now, one of the things that anger does, anger is a protector of self. Self is the offspring of darkness. It's what we talked about. We were born in sin. So I want to give you just kind of like a category, because where there's self, what protects self is pride. Amen? What protects pride is fear. And what protects fear is anger. Do you ever catch somebody in a lie? You know what the first thing they do is they get what? Angry. Because it's a protector. And they try to, you know what anger is? It's nothing but self-justification. That's all it is. It tries to protect, tries to cover up, tries to change course. In Proverbs 8 and verse 12, would you read it with me? So we need to be filled with the Spirit, and there's something else we're going to need: wisdom. We need wisdom, but not the wisdom from the world, the wisdom that comes from the Spirit. It says this: I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. See, if there's not a fear of the Lord there, then there's no relationship. I don't mean fear of afraid. I mean reverence, honor, and respect. So if we're proclaiming to be a Christian and we don't have the reverence, fear, the fear of the Lord, reverence, honor, respect, that he's there, then we're L-O-S-T. We're lost. There's no relationship. It's like long distance. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We're to hate evil, not pet it, not compromise it. Amen? Not justify it, and not associate with it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance are the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. He's talking about the spirit of wisdom. The rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. Wow. We need to stay filled and use the weapon of wisdom, or anger will nullify. One of the things when people get angry, they go into another state, like fear puts in another state. It's a state of being. When people are angry, it nullifies, it deafens, it blinds. When they get into that state, why? They're so caught up in promoting self that they want to prove themselves, justify self, whatever it may be, that they become nullified of being able to receive, just like fear does. So when a person gets into that state of anger, they can't even use wisdom. What do they have to do? They have to repent. Forgive me. Forgive me for biting the bait. Forgive me. Why? So you can get washed in the blood and the spirit can be reinstated. So now you can hear again. See, but when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you see it coming. You see it coming. And when you see it coming, you're able to overcome it, not manage it. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 20. You know, Jesus says something very profound and important. He says, come and learn from me. When you become a Christian, Christ-like, now there's a process of exchanging your life for his life. There's that process of exchanging your thoughts for his thoughts, heart for heart, will for will. You're exchanging. Why? Because you want to live a Christ-like life. So you no longer associate with things that can contaminate you. You associate with things that promote Christ-like. Amen? And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, but you've not so learned Christ, if you have heard from him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your what? Formal conduct. That used to be anger, outbursts of wrath, fornication, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is. The old man, which grows what? Corrupt. According to the deceitful lust. This is the old man. This is what you were born with. Now we have a new man. Now we need to maintain that new man, not contaminate it. Is everybody okay? Verse 22, would you read it with me? That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. That's when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You said, look, I really mean this. I'm going to follow you. I want to learn more. And I want to live as your offspring and as a child of the Most High God. So you were created. You've been a new creation in Christ. All things pass away and all things become new. In true righteousness and holiness. Look at 25. What does he say? He says, therefore what? Put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be what? Be what? Angry, but what? Don't say, in other words, it doesn't mean you won't get angry. There's an area of righteous anger. Even Paul had righteous anger. Amen. I have righteous anger every morning. I call destructive fire down on every high place of Satan's altars. Why? Because I hate what they do to people. The greatest, most powerful weapon in the world is deception. It is the killer of mankind, deception. It rules. It rules people, controls people, manipulates their attitude and motives, directs their course of life. Until we are no longer leashed to deception, we cannot be free. That's why God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That brings a person into a state of deception. Amen? All right, look at 26 again. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, forgive. You know how many people are still holding bitterness? I still hate. I can't forgive that person. You're the one that's being tormented. I don't care what happened. I don't care if you were raped. I don't care if you were brutally beaten. I don't care what happened. You forgive. Let God take care of it, because that's going to release you. But you don't know how this person treated me. God knows. Amen? God knows. So why not forgive that person? Let it go. Why? So resentment doesn't build up with you, and you're walking in an angry attitude. Chip on your shoulder. Miserable. And then contaminating anybody else. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Nor give what? Place to the devil. Again, this is one of the areas that the enemy loves to use to invite more spirits. Why? Because you see, here's anger. And what's it say right afterwards? Give place to the devil. It's right there. And what we're seeing now globally, all over the world, we're seeing hatred. So you know what? People are watching hatred. You know what they're doing? Getting angry at hatred. It's being fed. That's how spirits get fed. They get fed by emotion. Anger is an emotion. Hatred is an emotion. Oh, hallelujah. So it says, now, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. Why? He'll step back. Remember, God doesn't associate with sin. You can give him all the glory you want. If you're living in sin, it ain't God that's blessing you. It's you blessing you. In verse 31, let's read it. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me tell you something. I see Facebook being used as people venting like fools. They vent like fools. Anything they feel, anytime they get offended, they just let everybody know. Well, they're and what they're doing is actually implanting corruptible seed to other people. So then they get angry. See, the devil ain't stupid. He'll outwit anyone quickly. But he's a provoker, isn't he? Amen? So it's okay to be angry, but don't... There's that area of righteous anger. Amen? But don't sin. Don't let it lead to sin. How about jealousy? Shoo-wee! Unforgiveness, jealousy, bitterness, offense, envy. These are all acts of self-justification. Because I feel that way. Psalm 37. Aren't you glad you came today? You know, somebody was speaking to me one day. Somebody called me on the phone, and they were pretty irate. I decided the conversation was over with, because I wasn't going to get sucked in a ring or go over there. I wasn't going to put up with it any longer either. And I said, well, God, I forgive you and bless you. Man, it really freaked that person out. That's when I hung up. They're in your hands now, Dad. I'm free from it. I didn't have to say a word, man. Just, I forgive you and bless you. It's like a nuclear weapon went on the other side. Bye. Don't contaminate me. Hallelujah. 37, Psalm 37, verse 1. Would you read it with me? Do not fret because of what? Evildoers. Nor be what? Envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb. What's it say? Trust in the Lord and do good. Look it. We're all going to make the mistake. Hello? You're going to say something you shouldn't? You're going to do something you shouldn't? God's love is always waiting for me and you. Always. His arms are always open saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Come on, I want to get close to you. I want to hug you. I want to love you. I want to bless you. But I can't touch you right now because you're contaminated. Contaminated what? Sin. So if you mind just repenting, asking for forgiveness, I'll wash you with the blood and we'll get reconciled and we'll jam. Now, that's all he's looking for. Praise God. It says, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do what? Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because they'll be his desires, not yours. Commit your way to the Lord. That means give him it. Lord, I commit to you my works. I acknowledge you in all of my ways. I cast my cares upon you, for you care for me. I'm done with it. I forgive and bless everyone who's hurt me, used me, spoke against me, stole me, persecuted me, didn't live up to my expectations. I forgive them and bless them. And I let them go. Amen. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness, not your goodness, as the light, and your justice as the new day. Look at verse 7. What's it say? Rest in the Lord and what? Wait patiently. That means endure. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. What's it say? Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, because it only causes what? Harm. You want to harm yourself? Just stay in an angry state. But you don't know what they did to me. I don't care. God's your avenger, not you. We all have a tendency to want vengeance on someone. You don't know what they did. Get them, Dad. You know you want them to get them? You forgive them. Then God, let Dad take care of it. People, I'm dispatching angels to them to kill them. No, it's your brother, man. You can't do that. I see Christians fight with one another. Yeah, I'm devil, come out of you. No, the devil, come out of you. Ain't no devil leaving either one of them. They're both getting filled with them because they're both in the flesh. Proverbs 22. You want to provoke someone, tell them they have a devil. Especially your spouse. Honey, you got a devil. Believe me, if I sense I have one, I go to my wife. If I sense I'm struggling with something, if I can't get rid of it myself, I'll go to her. Look in my eyes. Get rid of it. Let's touch and agree. I've done that before. Man, I was sick as a dog going somewhere. I tried everything. My wife said, oh, honey, pray. She started, I said, no. She said, grab her. Look in my eyes and cast it out. Believe me, I don't care. I want to be free. If I pick something up that don't realize I picked it up, she'll tell me. That's what spouses are for. That's what friends are for. Honey, there's a little fruit there. What kind of fruit is it? It ain't nutty. You know what? It's amazing that you can't see your own fruit sometimes. But that's why you are to self-examine yourself every day. Am I really doing what's pleasing God? If you're not going to put that up there, then you're going to never, then you don't care. Then there's no reverence. There's no fear. There's no relationship. If you're not going to look at yourself and go, what am I doing? Is everything I'm living pleasing God? If you're not willing to make a change to please him, then there's really no relationship. None. You're just playing religion. Come to church once in a while. Show up Christmas, whatever. Put a few pennies in the thing. Haven't tithed once in your life. Still fighting for your life. Living in the kingdom of self. And you're on a road of destruction. Listen, one day we're going to wake up from this place. This is just a nightmare sometimes. It's just a dream. You're going to wake up one day and enter reality. I can't wait to go home. I pull up on I brought the motorcycle out that has a witness on it, the witness bike, and I went to Harbor Freight the other day, and I parked a car, and this guy, older gentleman, comes out, and he looks, and he says, you know, there's not too many bold people out there, he says to me. I said, well, to God be the glory, we got enough time until we get the heck out of here. He said, yes, I can't wait to get home, he's telling me. See, if you're truly a believer, truly have been tasted the presence of God, touched by the presence of God, filled by the presence of God, this ain't your home. You're not fighting for this place no more. You're fighting for that place. Amen? Proverbs 22, we there? In verse 24? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Come on now, you all right? Let's say it now. Come on, 24, what's it say? Make no friendship with an angry man. And don't marry one. Dear God. Make no friendship with an angry man or a woman, all right? This word man doesn't mean gender. Nor with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his way and set a snare for your soul. Yes. In other words, associations. Be careful of your associations. Amen. You know, anger stirs up strife. It always stirs up strife. There's that false arena of gentleness, but behind it is raging anger. What does the word say? That there are those who come up with what? Sheep clothing, but inside they're what? Ravenous wolves. That's anger, resentment. You know, Moses freaked out. the people were driving him crazy. I'm going to go there for a second. It's Numbers 20, my poor brother. But man, he got to see God face to face. I mean, come on, man. Numbers 20. You know, Moses, he goes up in a mountain. He's up on the mountain with God, and he gets the Ten Commandments. He comes walking down. Yes, he's all excited. Come on, he's been up there 40 days. You know, yo, for him, it was 5 minutes. He didn't eat or drink or anything, but because in God's presence, there was no space or time. So it was 40 days, but for him, it was just like 5 minutes. So the Lord writes the Ten Commandments down, and all he's walking down, and he sees all of the Israelites. They're worshiping a golden calf. He gets angry. He throws the Ten Commandments, busts them. But it was a representation. It was symbolic that there would be another covenant coming. Then the Lord tells him, okay, Moses, and they're all complaining out there in the wilderness, we don't have any water. The Lord tells Moses, all right, Moses, you're coming to a rock. Take the staff, strike it, and water will come out. Good. They get to the place. He strikes it. Water comes out. Okay, they're traveling. Well, something's getting ready to happen again. You got to remember, things in the Old Testament are shadow of things to come. So in the Old Testament, they were rituals. And the New Testament, the New Covenant, is the ministry of the Spirit, so things that are activated by spoken. So now the Lord does something different. In verse 2, it says here, it says, now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Of course, they were grumbling and complaining. They were driving Moses nuts. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died with our brethren, died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? They're grumbling, complaining. And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Like it was Moses' fault, right? Is not a place of grain and figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. They ran to the throne and not to the phone. And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock. Don't hit it. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he was commanded him. Now Moses is ticked off now. He's been provoked, provoked, provoked. And so what does he do? And he says to them, hear now, you rebels. He's upset, man. He's angry. You rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Oh, he's freaked. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. He didn't speak to it, did he? Told you, when that anger comes, you nullify. You nullify. God was right there, just got done speaking to him. He was at the tabernacle of God, and the glory of the Lord came and spoke to him face to face. This is what you're to do. He was so angry, he was listening, not really grabbing hold, because anger was more enticing. He was provoked so much, he was angry, so he couldn't really hear. So Moses struck the rod, water came out abundantly, and the congregation and her animals drank. Well, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. They lost the promise. Moses never entered the promised land. See, I'm sharing with you this because it's so important. When we allow resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, and anger to infiltrate our lives, we cannot fulfill the will of God, nor will we enter the promised land. Is everybody okay? Now, this is powerful. So the Lord says this, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. In fact, the Lord buried Moses. He didn't let him go into the promised land. So this anger arena that the enemy likes to provoke us will cause interruptions, causes interruptions. And in this, it will alter the will of God in our life. You know, think about how many things have been altered already in our life where God had to readjust his will for us. Amen? Is everybody okay? Turn to Ecclesiastes 7. Here, when Moses did that, it nullified the promise of God. Ecclesiastes 7. Almost done. A couple scriptures, I want to get this in. You know how many people are dealing with anger? Think about that. That is a spirit of anger. It is a demon. It's a disembodied spirit that loves to get fed. You cannot manage a demon. The world teaches you demon man. You know how they manage it? They call it bipolar and give you medication. You got bipolar. No. They need to say bi to polar, right? Ain't no bears in my house. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. Let's speak it together, I think. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. Yes, let's read it. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of what? Fools. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. That's why it's important to stay filled and use wisdom. Amen. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, the spirit of anger. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Would you read it with me, please? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, does it? No. It's all it does is feed spirits. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Praise God. Now I'm going to close at Colossians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Now again, this is not to bring guilt or condemnation, but I hope it brings conviction. Why? So that there's a change. Because if we're not willing to change according to the righteousness of Christ and live according to who we were created to be, our desire is to fulfill the will of God. If it's not there, then you're L-O-S-T. You're living outside of salvation's truth and you're lost. I don't care how much money is in your account. I'm going to care how many cars you own, how many things. None of that matters. And it's until people come to that place that the materialism of the world does not go home with you. We got to come out of this state of being and live according to what he says we should live, not according to what man promotes or the world promotes. Anyone who's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Verse 1, Colossians 3, would you read it with me? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. That's one of the ways you examine yourselves. Have I been thinking about the thing? Have I been comparing my thoughts with the things of above? When I wake up in the morning, is the Lord before me or is my work before me? Am I more interested? Am I running to the computer and to the everything else before I'm running to him? That's where you know where you're at. You examine yourself. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth. What's first? For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Again, Jesus came to bring us grace. Grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the powers of darkness, which we are being influenced and provoked every single day, and escape the wrath of God. Why? Because the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience that are cooperating with the unseen realm. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, Well, if you're still living in them, then you can expect the wrath of God. But now you yourselves are to what? Who's to put off? We are to put it off. We're to put off these. What's the first one? Anger. Anger. That's the one that connects to make no place to the devil. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge and wisdom according to the image of him who created you. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. You know, humility. That means submit to God so you can resist the devil. See, pride doesn't submit to God. Pride takes choices. Oh, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, but I ain't doing that. That's called pride. Oh, I don't believe the whole Bible. I just believe what I want to believe. That's pride. L-O-S-T also. Is everybody okay? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and what? Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what? Wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Man, do you wake up with a song in your spirit? Or do you wake up with something else? I don't want to bring any suggestions. You know, do you wake up with a song in your spirit? Praising to God? And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Examine ourselves. Where are we at? If Jesus was to come right now, this moment, this instant, you think he'd let you in or not? Not according to what you believe, but according to what he sees. Amen? And if you ain't living according to what he sees, I encourage you to turn it around. Make the change today. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We come against a spirit of anger. We cast that spirit from us. We forgive. We bless them all. We sever ourselves from everything that would promote anger, wrath, jealousy, rage, resentment, and bitterness. And we ask, Lord, that you'd wash us with the blood of Christ, heal us today with the stripes of Jesus, and refresh us in your presence as we prepare for communion in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.